glad you're here this morning. If you want to open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Mark chapter 4 is where we left off the last time we were here. We are at the end of Mark chapter 4. We will be picking up in verse 35. If you have need of a Bible, just simply raise a hand. One will be handed to you. Mark 4, picking up in verse 35. Ooh. Good morning. I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but most of the songs that we sang this morning talked about faith and not fearing. And talked about, you know, our trust in God that He always worked things out. Have you found that to happen in your life? That God always seems to work things out eventually? See, we're either dealing with something right now, or God has done something in our lives already, or we're going to get ready to see God do a work. And sometimes we just need to be faithful. And when we talk about fear, we have to also talk about faith. And today's message, as we're looking at this last section, is a very popular story in the Gospel of Mark that he shares with us about Jesus calming the storms. And I want to ask us, what is it that you fear? What is it that causes you to become afraid, fearful? I mean, some people don't like spiders, right? Some people don't like snakes. My wife can't stand snakes. And yesterday we were at Radnor Park, and there's always a chance of a sighting of a snake when you walk around Radnor Park. My wife doesn't like nature. She'd rather look at it through a window. But Radnor Park is such a wonderful place, we love to go for a walk there. And so we're walking there yesterday, and this young family is standing in the walkway, in the road, as we're approaching. And as we get closer, the mother looks at my wife, because I wasn't really paying attention, and she goes, "There's a snake." And my wife literally shoved me and backed up, and luckily didn't say anything out of her mouth, because there were young children there. But there was a little garden snake that was in the road. And my wife, she's like, "I hate snakes, I hate snakes, I hate snakes." She is fearful to death of a snake. I was gonna put a picture of a snake up here, but she'll have nightmares tonight, so I couldn't do that. But that fear is there, that immediate fear. And the good news is, if ever she's in trouble, I know that I'm gonna be pushed into that trouble before her. And I'm willing to do that. I have no problem with that. See, I'm not I did say that. There was no cussing. But there are things in this life that we're fearful of. Some of us are fearful of getting up on the roof of our house. Or maybe I should say getting stuck up on the roof of their house. Sorry, George, had to do it. Fearful. Maybe some of us in here are fearful of death. Some of us in here maybe are fearful of heights. We don't like to be in high places. Years ago, when I lived in South Florida, I was a scuba instructor. And this one time I was teaching some students in a pool that was nearby. It was a very deep pool. It was a high dive pool, so it was 16 feet deep, which is a great place to teach scuba diving so you can get used to the pressure. And after this one class I took, one of the people in my class challenged me to go up on the high dive and jump off. And I'm thinking, no problem, I would do that any day. So they challenged me. So I took off my scuba gear, I climbed up the long ladder, got out to the edge, and I made a critical mistake. I looked down. I should have never looked down. I should have just kept walking and jumped off. I looked down, and I'm telling you, my knees are actually shaking now thinking about it. And literally, my knees started to shake. I was like, uncontrollably, fear just took over me. I humbled myself, climbed back down the ladder, and said, "You're right, I couldn't do it." But sometimes we're afraid of heights. Sometimes we're afraid of just looking over the edge. Some people don't even like going to the edge of you know, something that's down, like the Grand Canyon. Some people don't even want to go to the edge. I'm not afraid of heights, I guess, unless I'm going to jump off. This past week, we were in New York City, and this story, I was reminded of it when we were on top of the Empire State Building on the 86th floor. Just looking out at the city, looking down, 86 floors, there's a wall and there's a screen. In fact, there should be a picture. Hopefully, it'll be there. This is what you see on the 86th floor of the Empire State Building. Some of you probably have been there. As long as you stay on this side of the wall and look out through that fence, man, it's no problem. I literally stuck my head through that fence because I wanted to get a clear view with nothing obstructed until the security guard told me to stick my head back in on the other side of the fence. I'm looking down, and it's just an amazing sight. But then I began to think, I'm safe on this side of the wall, but if I was to stand on the other side of that fence, I'm sure my knees would. What is it about 12 inches? Feel safe here, step out here, no safety net, no protection, all of a sudden fear sets in. See, guys, fear is a natural emotion. It's in a natural emotion, but it's interesting to me that that fear can be instituted just by a change of a position, just by moving from one side of the fence to the other. What are you afraid of? What is it you're dealing with right now that you're afraid of? Are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of what maybe God wants to do in your life when God stretches you and challenges you? What is it that causes you fear? Some of you parents, maybe fear, you're fearful for what's going to happen to your kids if they get hurt. See, fear is a natural emotion, and we all must deal with it. And that's what we see in the end of the Gospel of Mark. The disciples are going out onto the Sea of Galilee with Jesus in the boat, and they get very fearful. And we need to realize, when fear kicks in, our faith must kick in as well. The call I feel upon the vision of this church is to encourage believers to engage their faith. When fear gets set in, you must engage your faith and trust in God. Not looking at the situation, not looking at the circumstances, but keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's the very picture of Peter stepping out on the water, walking on water. He takes his eyes off the Lord. We must focus on the Lord. I was reminded of Psalm 118, verse 6. Such a great verse. Says this. 118, Psalm 118. There it is. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Think about that for a minute. The Lord is on your side. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he the one that walks with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you? If he is that Lord, if he is on your side, notice what it says, I will not fear. Not I should not fear, not I might not fear. It says, I will not fear. When we begin to believe that Jesus is with us, we don't fear anything. We don't fear man. We don't fear any type of circumstances. Yes, the emotion of fear might be there, but immediately our faith kicks in and say, Lord, I'm fearful right now, but I know you're with me. I know you're on my side. I'm calling today's message Fear Factor, because in times in our lives, we find that fear sets in, and that's what the enemy uses to disable us from fulfilling what God has for us in our lives. Fear Factor. Look with me in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll read this story that we all know so well. Verse 35 says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I hope you kind of get a picture of what's going on here in this last section of chapter 4 of Mark. Jesus has been teaching the multitudes on the shoreline of Galilee from this very boat. And as he's teaching all of the things that he's been doing in chapter 4, he's been encouraging them, what? About the Word of God. The very words of God, the scriptures, he's teaching them. He's showing them that in life, if you want to fight fear, you got to embrace the Word of God. And here we see in this story, Jesus comes in, and it says in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, the same day he's been teaching all of these teachings. It's been a very long day. It's been a tiring day. Jesus is physically tired. We see in the story that he ends up falling asleep in the back of the boat. So Jesus as God still is physically tired. He ends up sleeping in the back of the boat. It could have been very easy for Jesus to say, you know what, guys, I'm too tired to cross the sea today. Let's just camp out here. But Jesus says, no, get in the boat and we're going to travel over to the other side. Isn't it interesting when God tells you something, he doesn't necessarily give you all the details? Isn't that a shame? Doesn't every one of us in this room want all the details if God's going to tell us to do something? But you think if the disciples heard, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. We're going to go through a storm. It's going to be very scary, but we'll make it there anyways. We wouldn't do it, would we? What's interesting to me is he puts the disciples in the boat and then he falls asleep, basically giving them control of the direction of the boat. Don't forget, these guys were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. In a sense, Jesus is saying, I'm going to catch a nap. You guys be in control for a while, and then I'll always be here with you. The important thing about this story, we always must remember, Jesus was in the boat with them. Jesus is in the boat with them through the storm. I ask you this morning, is Jesus with you in your storms in your life? Is he right there with you in the things that you're dealing with today? Just this week, praying for someone who's kind of at the end of their life. You know, they were sick. Someone asked for a prayer request that we would ask God to maybe protect them and heal them. I found out this morning they passed away. Those are the storms in life we have no control over. Those are the storms in life that we can't change the circumstances, but God is there in the midst of it. Does our prayer change? No. Our prayer is faithful. God, your will be done. God, you accomplish your purposes. But inviting God to be in the midst of those storms in our lives. Like I said, we sing that song, your will always. You know, you'll always fall come through. And I know some of us in this room think, yeah, he's come through most of the time. But there's some things in my life he hasn't come through. There's some times in my situation where we've lost loved ones. We've asked God, we've prayed, and it's like there's no sin in our lives. There's no burden that we're, like, God doesn't do this to harm us and doesn't allow these things to happen to test us or to make us, you know, get back at us. But he wants us to just be faithful to him, faithful to say, Lord, I want you in the midst of the situation. I want you in the center of what's going on in my life. I think God allows these storms in our lives so that we'll be dependent upon him. I believe personally, Jesus knew there was a storm that was going to come. I believe Jesus knew absolutely perfectly there's a storm coming, guys. Isn't it interesting how when God says one thing, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side, Satan always comes, doesn't he? I believe the storm came. I believe it was an act of Satan. It is very common on the Sea of Galilee for the winds to pick up quickly and the waves to get up to 20 feet on this. I'm telling you, it's only 18 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's a small lake, sea, they call it the Sea of Galilee, but it gets 20-foot waves. These guys were fishermen. They've been out on this lake before. They've been out there fishing in these boats. And notice, they're fearful to the point they think they're going to die. This had to be an amazing storm. This storm was not just your typical little bit of wind, little bit of rain. These guys were afraid for their lives. Should they have been trusting in Jesus? Absolutely. Had they not seen him do amazing miracles up to this point? They sure did. But how many of us in this room have seen God do a work in our lives? And yet tomorrow, we're going to still be fearful. Tomorrow, we're still going to wonder, are you here with me, God? Are you in the midst of it? And that's where faith must kick in. I know you're with me, Lord. Show me your will. Strengthen me to endure the storm. If Jesus says we're going to get to the other side, we're going to get to the other side. These guys needed to listen to that. This storm, I think this is important, because sometimes I think we look at storms in our lives as God's way of disciplining us. There are storms of disobedience. Jonah experienced that, wouldn't you say? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah went the other way. And there was a storm that came on this boat, and what the people said, we're going to all die. And Jonah goes, it's because of me. Throw me overboard, and you'll all live. Can you imagine? To know that you're the responsible one for causing harm in someone else's life, That is a storm of disobedience. This storm is different, isn't it? This is a storm of obedience. Jesus said, get into the boat, we're going to cross over to the other side. Then the storm comes. Sometimes in our lives, storms come to stretch and challenge our faith. Will we be obedient to obey God in the midst of what's going on in our lives? You know, again, God doesn't give us always the details. If God's telling you to do something, he will equip you to get there. You must trust in him. Sometimes storms in your life are storms of obedience. Because a storm in your life is not always directly tied to sin in your life. There are people that believe that. They believe if there's something going on in your life that isn't right, then you must have some unrepented sin. It's hogwash. As long as if you have unrepented sin, repent for sure. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't orchestrate events in your life based on the condition of your life. He may allow things to happen in your life so that you'll be dependent upon him. Aren't you so glad if you believe in Jesus and you have a relationship with God that he is available to you when you're going through a storm? I mean, I could not imagine going through the death of my brother, the death of my mother, without faith. My entire family experienced the power of faith in believing in God. Because I do not believe my brother is dead. I believe my brother's more alive today than he ever was. And that's the faith that we have. Yes, sad that he's gone. Yes, terrible that he had that experience. But trusting in the fact that he's better today than he ever was. That's faith. That's experiencing that. Storms in your life, the things that you're going through right now, may or may not be directly correlated to what your obedience to God is. That's between you and the Lord. But maybe he's allowing the storm in your life just to stretch you. Wouldn't it have been a lot better for the disciples to look at a sleeping Jesus and go, if he's okay with this, why shouldn't we be? Right? He's sleeping. He's chilling. Now, Jesus didn't bring a pillow with him. There was actually a pad at the back of the boat where the rudder was that the person who would steer the boat sat. And so Jesus is laying on this pad, and he's sleeping. And there's an amazing storm. Now, the disciples didn't just stand there and do anything. Chances are the disciples are probably bailing the water because it says the water's coming into the boat. So they're doing a lot of stuff. But as they're trying to get the water out, more's coming in, the boat's sinking, and they're looking at Jesus going, doesn't this guy care? Doesn't he even concerned that we're going to die here? And what did they do? They were focused on the storm. Do we not do that as well? When we're going through something in our lives, when maybe the finances are a little tight, do we start focusing on the finances and not going, God, show me how to get through this. Show me how to navigate through this. And begin to think that it's we're going to die. Do we immediately go to the negative? Do we immediately go to that place of going, Lord, I don't know how we're going to get out of this? Or do we say, Lord, this is a difficult situation. Help me get through it. That's faith. That's the fear factor sets in, but the faith factor must also set in and to ask God to show us how to go. Jesus was physically weak, but at least he was there. He was in the boat, and we need to make sure that Jesus is in our boat. We need to make sure that we have Christ there with us. Notice it says a great windstorm came. This was not just a small little breeze. This was seriously a major storm. And when God says something, the enemy's going to attack it. When God tells you to do something in obedience to him, maybe it's doing something that's in his word, and he said, I want you to respond in this way. I want you to act this way. I want you to act as a Christian should act in this particular situation, and you know it's going to be difficult. If he tells you to do it, you must be obedient to do it. You must follow through and watch God use you and equip you for that time. In this life, we all know we're going to face storms. If we looked back at our past, we probably see time and time again God carried us through difficult situations, right? And we may be in a storm today, and there may be one coming tomorrow. And isn't that the condition that it is for a Christian? Either you're coming out of a storm, you are in a storm, or you're going to be coming into a new storm. That's the three things that we deal with. Very rarely in the Christian life is it all things are good, all things are calm. No, there's always something that keeps us drawn to the Lord. What is it in your life? What is it that God is using to keep you close to him? Again, he allowed the storm to happen. Jesus could have easily said, guys, there's a storm coming. Let's spend the night here. Nope, he wanted them to experience this. He wanted them to experience the storm. When we think about the storms that we deal with in life, maybe some that you've already gone through, how did God teach you his character? How did God display to you his grace in that situation? I remember again when my brother passed away. It was about 5 months before my brother passed away. He actually married his longtime girlfriend 5 months before he passed. They got married. And 5 months later, this poor girl has to go to a funeral for her new husband. And that's just heartbreaking. The tragedy of this story is this woman was married before, and her previous husband died of cancer. This girl, my sister-in-law, looked at my mother and said, "Why is God mad at me?" And that was the most tragic situation for me in that whole story. That this girl thought that God was mad at her because he allowed her two husbands to die the very same thing. Guys, I don't know the answer why she married two men that both died of cancer. There's no answer to that. There's no reason. But I will say this. God surely would use that to show someone his love for her. To show that he is there in the midst of that. To this day, she is walking with the Lord. She loves the Lord. And she saw God's hand through the whole situation. Listen, sometimes life just isn't fair. But yet God is going to show us, I'm there in the midst of it. I wish God would answer all of your prayers exactly the way you want them. But wouldn't that just make us spoiled kids? It really would. It wouldn't teach us anything. But sometimes God lets us suffer a little bit just so that we can rely upon him and deal with him. Will we be faithful in the absolute end? God is not mad. God does not do that. He does not take out things on you on someone else. God can deal with us on his own. Jesus, or the disciples wake up Jesus, which is interesting to me, that the wind and the waves and the storm, Jesus is sleeping. But when the disciples come over and say, Jesus, he wakes up. Guys, Jesus may be asleep in that boat during the storm, but isn't it good to know that Jesus never sleeps any longer? That he is ever at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf? We never have to wake Jesus up. And the disciples did not wake Jesus up for salvation, did they? They didn't say, hey, Jesus, the storm's raging. Could you do something here? No, they just woke up Jesus and said, hey, we're going to die. I just thought you would want to know. It's really true. I wrote this in my note. Don't wake up Jesus, or don't pray to Jesus just to tell him what you think's going to happen. Right? Don't we do that? Lord, please, if you don't send some money soon, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Lord, please, if you don't send me a spouse soon, I don't know how I'm going to continue. Whatever it is, whatever the prayer need is, you don't have to tell Jesus. He knows what's going on. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, you know my situation. Can you help me through it? That's the prayer of faith. Saying, Lord, if you're going to allow this to happen in my life, so be it. Can we ever get to the place where we say, Lord, completely your will be done and not my own? Was Jesus ever afraid? His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane certainly would institute a question of, why didn't Jesus want to fulfill? Father, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was human. He felt the emotion of fear. But yet he said, not my will be done, yours be done. That is where we can come to God and say, God, I am fearful in this situation. I'm afraid of what's going on. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. But Lord, I know your will is going to be accomplished through that. That's when faith steps in. The answer to our fear is the beginning of faith. The answer to resolve our fear is the beginning of exercising our faith. Can we get to the place in our lives to say, God, I'm yours. Whatever you allow in my life, it's for your glory. It's for your glory. As long as we're not purposely being disobedient, as long as we're not purposely walking contrary to God, Lord, whatever it is, can we have that kind of mentality? Or is it, Lord, I'm going to love you as long as things are good? See, we're gonna face storms in this life. We need to be ready for them. We need to be prepared for them. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples tried everything they could. They were no longer in control. There's a message right there. How much control do we want of our destiny? Or is it in total control of Jesus? Look how Jesus responds in verse 39. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Three small but very powerful words. Notice it says he rebuked the wind. This is why I believe this was a total act of Satan coming against God, because he literally rebuked the wind. He rebuked a fever from a dying girl. He rebuked the unclean spirit out of a man. When he rebukes something, it's because he's coming up against Satan. And he knew that this storm was so great that it was only a work of Satan trying to thwart the works of God. Because Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. And Satan says, I'm going to fight that. Guys, these three little words, peace, be still, remind me of those words. And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Whew. Those are so powerful for a believer. Sometimes I think we need to stop striving and just stand in stillness before God. I think it's a hard thing to do in our society anymore, isn't it? To just stop and be still in the presence of God and say, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I'm not going to worry about my storms. I'm not going to worry about my finances. I'm not going to worry about my relationships. I'm not going to worry about any of the fears that I have in my life. I'm just going to be still and focus on you, Lord. And in that stillness, this peace will come over you. In that stillness, God will show himself to you. God has a hard time. I think I shouldn't say that because God's God, but he has a harder time bringing peace in your life if you're a moving target. If you're constantly going here and there and everywhere, sometimes we just need to stop and be still. And Jesus stands up in this boat after the disciples wake him up, and he says, peace, be still. He speaks to the waves, peace, be still, wind. He just calms it completely. And notice it says, and there was a great calm. It was a great windstorm that Satan sent, but it was a greater calmness that Jesus sent. We each need, in our storms in our lives, the amazing power of Jesus to still it, to calm it, to slow it down. His power was greater than Satan's. That's the crux of this story. Jesus is stronger than anything Satan can deliver to you or to him. And Jesus speaks it with just three words. And there was a great calm. But then he turns to them. Not only does he rebuke the wind, I think he rebukes them. What's he say? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Or another way to say it, how is it you don't have sufficient faith? Jesus is going, have you not been with me? Have you not seen what I've been able to do? Do you not trust me? Have I not been telling you to rely upon the word? I am the living word. Guys, when Jesus stands up in your life, there is nothing that can come against you. There is no power that can come against you when you have the power of Christ in your life. Don't be fearful. Fearful is an absolute lack of trust and lack of faith. Christians, I don't think, should be a fearful people. Again, the emotion is there, but the mindset and the heart behind it should be, but my God is greater. My God is greater. Peace, be still. Maybe that's the three words you need to carry with you this week. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what's coming on this week, but maybe that's what you need to hear. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. You know, when your kids wake up at 4 in the morning, wide awake, and you're exhausted, peace, be still. Just keep saying it to yourself. When you get into the office and you got more work than you think you thought you were going to have, peace, be still. You can only do so much. I think this is something that's, in our day, it's like we're trying to do too much in a day. There's only so much we can do. And I know we're supposed to work hard. Hey, we should work hard. Put in the hours. Put in the time. But there's only so much you can do in a day. Be sure you are making time for yourself and for your family. It's so important because the time's going to go and you won't have it any longer. Peace be still. He rebukes them and tells them, why you have no faith still to this point. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Wow. That's pretty cutting, isn't it? Without faith, we can't please God. So in the midst of a difficulty in your life, whatever storm, if you can just begin to rely upon faith, trusting in Christ. Lord, this is hard. I don't feel it, but I know it. I should trust you. I'm trying to go through this, Lord, but I need your help. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. I want to have faith, trusting in him. When you have a strong faith in God, your fear will be minimized. You've probably experienced it before. That time of you spend with the Lord, either reading his word or in prayer and spending that time, Lord, if I can just focus on you, I won't feel this fear any longer. We've all experienced it. We all have it in our hearts if we deal with it. One of my favorite stories, and this is where I'll close, is the story of Gideon in Judges chapters 6 and 7. Now, Gideon is an Israelite, and for 7 years, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. God in their disobedience. And if you ever read the book of Judges, it's always, and the Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and then the next chapter is, and then they cried out to God, and he showed up. Then they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and then they cried out to him, and then God showed up again. Well, there was a 7-year period where God was, they were in that disobedient phase. And here's Gideon, this young kid, threshing wheat inside a cave, because anytime they would produce anything, livestock or everything, the Midianites would come in and steal it. And an angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. It's an amazing story. And the first thing the angel of the Lord says to Gideon is, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, which I just think is so amazing. Here's a little kid threshing wheat inside a cave because he's afraid of the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon, I believe with all my heart, Gideon looked over his shoulder like, who else is here? I mean, he goes, we're the least of the tribes, we're the weakest of the tribes, and I'm the least in my tribe, which I think is so fascinating that when God wants to do something, he goes to the bottom of the barrel, he goes to the bottom of the list, the last guy there, and he says, you're the one I'm going to use. If you know the story, Gideon gets a bunch of troops, about, I think it was 32,000 troops against 135,000 troops. And God looks at them and goes, "Not, you got too many people. So just ask him, anybody afraid, leave. 10,000 are afraid and leave." And I've always said, Gideon would have left too if he wasn't talking to God, because he was fearful as well. And then, so now he's down to, I think, 10,000 or so, 20,000. God says, still too many. Anyway, long story short, he whittles down Gideon's army to 300 men against 135. And God goes, okay, now you can win the battle, because now you won't take credit for it. Guys, again, I don't know what storm you're in. And I don't know what battle you're fighting. But if God is on your side, you can be victorious. Gideon was victorious. His 300 men, you know what they did? They shouted, in the name of the Lord and Gideon's army, we could come to you. And they break a pot. And then all the armies of the Midianites attack each other and they all die. Gideon and his army didn't have to do anything. And in that story, several times, Gideon is making sure God is really telling him, are you sure? Can I ask you a question? And God shows him, and very clear. He goes, okay, one more question? Can I ask another? And then God says, in case you're fearful, Gideon, I'm like, God, you are so funny. You know he's fearful. He lets him overhear a conversation and a dream. And then Gideon goes, all right, God's in this. Listen. Every single one of us want to know, is God in our situation? We want to know, is God directing my life? And it's easy to doubt that. It's easy to question it. But I think with the confidence of Gideon to say, God, just show me. Just give me a peace. Just let me be still. Whatever it is, God, I want you to be in my boat. I want you to be in my life when the storms come. I know I'm either coming out of one, I'm in one, or I'm getting ready to go into a storm, Lord, and I want you to be here with me. And by faith, I'm going to believe that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's the God that we serve. The fear factor, we all experience it. We all experience it when we look over the edge or we look out on the horizon and go, that's where God wants me. I don't know how I'm going to get there. A step at a time, a day at a time. Engage your faith. Believe that God's with you and he will show you and guide you and direct you. If you get off path, if you go off track, God's faithful enough to get you back on path. He has the power to do that. So this is what I'm going to do. We're going to partake of communion together. I'm going to close this in a prayer, and then we're going to partake of communion. But today I want you to take that communion. Remember what Jesus has done, but I want you to come to God this morning and go, Lord, I'm in the storm. And I'm fearful. I'm looking at the waves. I'm looking at the wind. I'm not looking at you. And to take that time to remember what Jesus has done, died on the cross for each and every one of us, and to believe by faith, God's going to get us to the other side. Because had they trusted in what Jesus said in the beginning, Jesus didn't say we might get to the other side. Let's try to get to the other side. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. That was the word of God. And God keeps his word. And if he's spoken it to you, he will fulfill it. We must believe. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we're grateful for stories like this in the Gospel of Mark that remind us that in the midst of any storm, we should be like Jesus and be at total peace and at rest, living by faith. It's not easy, Lord. It doesn't come naturally. It's easier for us to worry. It's easy for us to be afraid. But Lord, you have told us in your word that there are better days ahead, that heaven awaits each of us. And in the same way that the disciples were in this boat getting to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, we're all in a boat getting to the destination of heaven. Storms will come. Wind will blow. Waves will rage. But you're with us. And we know we will accomplish our destination and arrive at our destination with you. And so I pray this morning for each and every person in these seats, God, that you would just remind them you are there, you know what's going on, you know the storm that's coming, and you're ready to equip them. May their faith be increased. May their trust in you be strengthened. To you be the glory. As we partake of this communion, God, may we remember that you died on that cross saying, it is finished. Making a way for us to walk in this life, covered and forgiven, our sins removed. We thank you for that. We thank you for that forgiveness. Be with us now as we commune with you in Jesus' name. Amen.